All right, today's daf in Yevamos is Lamed Beis. We're on Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis, and we're starting towards the top of the Amud, the Mishnah. The Mishnah, going all the way back to Lamed Amud Beis, describes what if there is a Safek Kedushin or a Safek Gerushin regarding the Erva. So again, this takes us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta, in which what happened was is that you were married to an Erva. Not your Erva, obviously. You can't be married to your Erva, but you're married to an Erva of your brother. Okay, already, if you've been with us since the beginning of the Masechta, so you know the case, you know the construct. It's very straightforward. It's just a question of getting used to these scenarios. So you're married to your brother's erva, i.e., let's say you're married to his daughter, and on top of that, you're also married to another woman as well. So what do we have now in the event that you die? So you have now an erva, tzaras erva. They're both going to be patur for the mitzvah of yibum. That takes us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. That is rudimentary. That's basic towards the Masechta Yevamos. Here on Daf Lamed, meaning yesterday's Daf, really 2 days ago. So the Mishnah introduced us to is, what if the marriage to the Erva was a Suffolk? What if the divorce to the Erva was a Suffolk? What do you do under those circumstances? Well, first of all, what's a case? What would be a case of Suffolk? So the Mishnah illustrated when it comes to Kiddushin, I'll give you a simple case of Suffolk Kiddushin. And that is that what your brother did when marrying your daughter is that he threw the Kess of Kiddushin and we don't know where it landed. Maybe it landed proximate to him, proximate to her, and that would be a case of Suffolk. And then the Mishnah says, and now let me illustrate a case of what would be a case of Suffolk Gerushin. So Suffolk Gerushin would be, and then the Mishnah goes and gives us an example. Now what we expected, the readers of the Mishnah, is that the example of Suffolk Gerushin would be exactly the same. It'd be a parallel case. You throw her the get, and we don't know where the get landed. It might have been proximate to you, might have been proximate to her. That's what we expected the Mishnah to say, and the Mishnah didn't give that case. The Mishnah gives a whole host of other cases. Well, he wrote the get, but he wrote it ksav yado. It was a handwritten get, but he didn't have witnesses sign it. Alternatively, there was only one witness. Alternatively, there was no zman on the get. Okay, so various examples of a suffix get. And as we already pointed out back in the Mishnah, the terminology of suffix get is a little bit imprecise. It's not a suffix get. What it is it's a non-ideal get. It's a bidyeved get. It works, but only bidyeved, not lechatchila. It's not ideal. And, okay, anyway, so, and what we discussed over the course of yesterday's daf, Lamed Aleph was dedicated to one topic, which quite frankly we didn't finish, and that is, why don't the Mishnah give the simple example? I want to give an example of Suffolk Gerushin, so you know what the example is. I threw her a get, and I don't know where it landed. Maybe close to me, maybe closer to you. How come the Mishnah didn't give that example? So good. So what Rabba did yesterday, Rabba with a hay, so what Rabba did yesterday is he made an entire binyan. He constructed an entire argument in terms of why the Mishnah elected not to give that case. And he talked about chazaka and what happens when the suffix comes along and attacks the chazaka. So what do we say regarding that in such a scenario? Good. That was Rabba's approach to it. And what we did at the end is that we asked a number of questions on Rabba. It did not seem that Rabba's position is, in fact, a defensible position. And so what the Gemara did is the Gemara then offered a different suggestion, and this is Abaye. El Amar Abaye, you know, I read this yesterday, but let's start over here. On Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, at the very top of the Amud. El Amar Abaye, Yagida Lavrei'o. So the neighbor will be informing us. In other words, an expression, it's a Pasuk in Eov, but the idea is that I look at the cases in the Mishnah, and I just simply create a parallel case. Meaning, if the Mishnah here is illustrating what exactly is a case regarding Suffolk Kiddushin, which is, he threw it to her, Suffolk Karavlo, Suffolk Karavla. So then the case of Gerushin, I'll assume that a similar case could exist as well. So Tana B'Kiddushin, V'hu Adin L'Gerushin, Tana B'Gerushin, V'hu Adin L'Kiddushin. Okay. So, that is the approach of Rava. That is the approach of Abaye. So Amale Rava, so now as we are continuing, this is new for us. So Rava says, Yagid Alav Reo, my Zehu Diktani. So good. That's a wonderful upshot in the Mishnah. But did you read the end of the Mishnah? Where the Mishnah says, Zehu, this is going to be a case. Now the Zehu would seem to indicate that this is going to be the case to the exclusion of something else. Elam Rava Koshi, I'm sorry. So my zehu diktani. So elam Rava Koshi yesh bekedushin yesh begerushin. V'yesh begerushin ma she'ein bekedushin. So The Rava says like this, similar to Rava, but not exactly the same. That all the cases that you have by Safek Kiddushin, you're going to have by Gerushin as well. Now, I say all the cases, by the way. The Mishnah gives us one case. But still, the point is that whatever created the Safek Kiddushin could also create the Safek Gerushin. He threw her the Kesef Kiddushin. He threw her the Get. We don't know where it landed. Okay. So, but Yesh B'Gerushin, Masha Ein B'Kiddushin. However, there are cases of Gerushin that you're not going to have by Kiddushin. V'zeo de Gerushin lav davka, ela mishum de tana zeo b'Kiddushin, tana nami zeo b'Gerushin. Ah. So the Gemara says, now it's true that the Mishnah uses the word Zehu. And it's true it uses both of the times. But one of the times the Mishnah meant it to be taken literally. And the second time the Mishnah just simply wrote it stylistically. As we've seen time and again, the Mishnayos are meant to have like a refrain to it. Like almost like a sing song to it. So that the Mishnahs could be committed to memory. So we have this. So the Mishnah says the word Zehu twice, but really only means it once. So the Gemara says, okay, great. So when it meant it, so what did it mean? V'zeo di Kiddushin l'mutei mai. So when it said, this is a case in Kiddushin, where this is a case of Safek Kiddushin, what case of Kiddushin is excluded? So l'mutei zman, delekei b'Kiddushin. Ah, because let's say you were to marry somebody in Kiddushin using a shtar. And let's say that shtar was missing a date. Ah, this is where we're going to make a contrast, strike a contrast between Kiddushin and Gerushin. So ma umimne malo tignu zman b'Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, so why isn't there an institution of date regarding Kiddushin? So let me give a little bit of background information over here, and then we're going to just go on in the Gemara. You write a get. Okay, we're not talking about Kiddushin right now, we're just talking about a get, a document for divorce. You write a get, so you must be writing the date in the get. If you do not write the date in the get, so it is not going to be a good get. Although, in the Mishnah, what we learned together is that post facto, b'di'evit, if you take such a get and you use such a get and you marry with it, you shouldn't have done all of the above. But if you did, the children are not going to be mamzerim. Okay, but there is an institution, a takana, to put a date in the get. Why? So this is a sugya in the Gemara in Gittin, which makes a lot of sense. That sounds like the right place where the Gemara is going to discuss it, on Daf Yud Zayin. And there the Gemara gives not one, but two different reasons why it is that a date is critical within the get. Number one, peire. Okay, I'm just saying it outside. We're going to see all this in our sugya over here, but this is the information the Gemara expects that we know. Number one, peire. So here's what we know. When a husband and wife are married, so all of her property is her property, but he's allowed to reap the dividends of that property. Peiros. Now, peiros can literally mean peiros, meaning if she's got a field, then the field produces fruit, so those fruit are dividends, meaning not from a fiat standpoint, but in other words, but those are literally the fruit of the field, which the husband is entitled to. But it's true by any dividends that are going to be coming off of her principal assets. Okay, anyway, so the husband is entitled to peros. Ah, now he gives her a get, and the get is not dated. So what the husband could do unscrupulously is that he can go ahead and he can collect the dividends. Because why not? In other words, I did divorce her, but when did it say I divorced her? And now we're going to go ahead and litigate on all the dividends that he took, and we don't know when the divorce actually occurred. Okay, so as a means of protecting the woman and making sure that she is able to retain not only her principal, but her dividends as well, so you need to attach a date to the get. That's number one. Number two is that, let's say, number two is going to sound a little bit stranger, but the Gemara says it. Let's say that he marries his niece. That in of itself is not strange. As we know, throughout the Gemara, marrying your niece is not only acceptable, sometimes it's in fact even encouraged. Your niece is not an erva to you, meaning of all the arayas that we describe, and all the shnios that we describe back on in our Masechta, on Daf Chaf Aleph, but your niece is not an erva. She's not an erva, it's not even an isser, it's nothing, meaning it's muteris, she's not an erva. And on top of that, under certain circumstances, back in the day, it was encouraged. Not encouraged nowadays, but back in the day, it was encouraged. So you marry your niece. So, normally speaking, when you're married to a woman, let's say, for example, she commits adultery. So normally, what is their response? Okay, not only do you, of course, want to terminate the marriage at that point in time, but whatever consequences it brings, let it come. In other words, she lacked fidelity. However, if it's your niece, so now, on one hand, obviously, you're going to be upset. On the other hand, it's your niece. It's your brother's daughter. So what do you want to do? So you want to cover it up. I'm going to say literally cover it up, but it's not literally, but you want to cover it up. So what do you do? So what you'll do is the following. What you'll do is you write her a get, and you'll leave it undated. And now the whole thing is taken to court. And now she goes to court, and she produces a get. I write what I did. I slept with this other man. That part's true, but I was divorced at the time. How do I know that? Because here's my get. But it doesn't have a date on it exactly. Okay, it doesn't. Right, I was divorced at the time. Okay, anyway. So that to prevent such a cover up, so therefore the date's going to be written on the get. It was institutionalized that the date be given on the get. And so the Gemara and Gittin, now I'm going to succinctly say both of these explanations. One is because of Peirei, and the other one is Shemi Chapet Bebasa Choso. Okay, good. Anyway, those are the two reasons offered regarding the requirement of dating a get. Now the Gemara is going to bring this over to Kiddushin. Okay, now, by Kiddushin, so let's remind each other, how do you affect Kiddushin? One of three ways. First, Mishnah Kiddushin. So you affect Kiddushin either Bekesef Ishtar or Bebiyah. Now let's take Bia and just remove it right off the table, right? Even though it is effective way to be Mekadesh, a woman, but it's not done. When I say it's not done, Rav Mangir Amanda Mekadesh Bebiya, Rav gave Malkus to anyone who was Mekadesh Bebiya, it's not done. Good. So let's take that off the table. So what are we left with now? We're left with Kesef, we're left with Shtar. Okay, what is the way that Kiddushin is effected nowadays? And when I say nowadays, I mean for as far back as we can go. So Kiddushin. Kesef Kiddushin. Okay, and on top of that, by the way, the minug was a ring. Right? The minug is a ring. The minug was a ring. Already the Rishonim are talking about the rings being used as Kesef Kiddushin. So the giving over of a ring to her is a really old minug. Okay. However, all this now brings us to, what if you're going to be Mekadesh with a shtar? Does that shtar need to be dated? Yes or no? Good. So the answer is not required. And what the Gemara wants to know is it's not required. So what's the difference between a get where the dating is required and the Kiddushin where the dating is not required? That's the Gemara's discussion. Let's see all this inside. That was a long introduction, but necessary. So, Omimne Malo Tiknu. So we're on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, and we're 8-9 lines down from the top of the Amud. Omimne Malo Tiknu Zman Bikidushin. So why isn't there a dating required on Kiddushin? So Hanich Lamandam Mishum Perei. So the Gemara says, look, if the reason why dating is required on a get is because of the protection of the woman and her dividends to the assets, so the Gemara says, Arusa Lesle Perei. The Gemara says, yeah. Okay, good. Not applicable over here. Because you marry a woman, first stage of marriage, Erusin. So are you entitled to Peros? No. Peros do not kick in until Nisuin, until the second stage of marriage. Then and only then do Peros kick in. Because it's part of the Ksuva, it's part of the Tanai Ksuva, that you are entitled to Peros. All financial responsibilities and awards start at Nisuin, not at Erusin. So Elaman Darmi Mishum Basar Choso, but if the issue is Basar Choso, so Litkin's Man Mishum Deika, Litkin's Man, but if the issue is cover up, so the Gemara says, if the issue is cover up, and we need to know when she was married, in the event, Rachmanis, where she is committed adultery, and we now need to know, at the time when she committed adultery, was she married, was she not married? Well, we need dating. We need dating on both ends of the marriage, meaning on the front end of the marriage and on the back end of the marriage. So the Gemara says, if that's the issue of Basa Choso, so then for sure we're going to need a date on the Shtar Kiddushin. So why is it institutionalized? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. So Mishum Dika de Mekash Bekasba Vika de Mekash Bishtara Lo Takan Rabban Azman. So because not everyone's Mekash Bishtar, and like I said in the intro, most people are not Mekadesh Bishtar. Nowadays, nobody's Mekadesh Bishtar. So therefore, since it's not the ubiquitous way and manner in which Kiddushin is affected, so therefore, how are they going to institutionalize something where some people don't even do it? So Amale Rav Acha Berei de Rav Yosef le Rav Ashi v'hai avda de'ika de'kani b'kaspa v'ika bishtara. So the Gemara says, yeah. Okay, but you know, when it comes to an Eved Kenani, where sometimes it's acquired with money, sometimes it's acquired with a document, V'takon Rabbanan Zman, and over there, it was the document, it was institutionalized that the document has to be dated, so I just don't buy your argument. meaning you're right that not everyone's Mekadosh Bishtar. Okay, so what? By an Eved, where the purchase of an Eved is sometimes done with a Shtar, and yet the dating is required. So Hasam Ruba Bishtar, Acham Ruba Bekaspa. So the Gemara says, okay, still there's a distinction to be made. When purchasing an Eved, most people do it with a Shtar. When purchasing, sorry. I didn't mean that. Okay, stop myself. So the when being Mekadosh a woman, most people are doing it with kesef. So the Gemara says, alternatively, one could suggest that really here there's no option. So the Gemara says, well, what are you going to do? In other words, you write a shtar kedushin. And let's say you're required to date it. And now what am I going to do with the document? Leave it by her? So what she's going to do is she's going to erase it. And now leave it by him? And so sometimes it's going to be his niece, and therefore he's going to cover up. So I don't know, leave it by a third party. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, look, leaving it by the Edom, what difference does it make? Meaning, if the Edom remember when the Kedushin was, so they'll come and testify. And if they don't remember, what are they going to do? Oh, when was the wedding? We don't remember. Oh, let's look it up. And they look it up on the document. So now, and meanwhile, so now, when they're testifying, so there's testimony based on what you remember, and your own. I'm gonna say your own testimony, but your own testimony means based on your memory versus what you looked up. You looked it up, and that's not remembering. And you're gonna go and you're gonna say now based on the fact that you looked it up. Okay, that's not me pihem. The definition of testimony requires that it has to be an oral testimony. But oral testimony, meaning based on what you remember, it's your recollection. If you just looked it up and then you said it, that's not your recollection. And so, ihachi begirshinami. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we just constructed is an argument of tzehelfnisht. Okay, yeah. Chinese. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah, so whatever. I don't speak Yiddish. Everyone here knows that. But anyway, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to help. Because as the Gemara just went through every step of the way, you write a date on a Shtar Kiddushin. First of all, most of the time Shtar Kiddushin are not even written up. That's number one. Number two, even if they are, and now what? It's just not going to help. Who are you going to leave it by? Whoever you leave it by is going to go ahead and alter the document. So it's just not going to help. So the Gemara says, and even if I leave it by the Edom, that also is not going to help. The Edom remember, great. And if the Edom don't remember, they're going to look it up. And now that's not testimony. So the Gemara says, so now what? So now the reason why we don't date a document, a Shtar Kedushin, is because it's simply not going to help. The Gemara says, now that we're here, so, why don't we say the same thing by Gershon as well? Meaning, there's a big institution, as we learned, as we started off, as I introduced our sugya, that you got a day to get, and now the Gemara says, okay, why? Why do you have the day to get? Meaning, all these concerns that we just have over here, aren't they going to be true by get? And the Gemara says, no, it's not going to be true. Think it through. Well, the Gemara says it in all but one line, but think it through. Yeah, because by the get, so what is it going to do? It's going to be matzel, it's going to save her. Meaning, that date for her is precious information. Right? It's for her protection. It tells us when she is no longer a married woman. In the event that she has relations with another man, it is that get that's going to go ahead and save her. Additionally, what was the other reason why we date a get? Because of payros, because of the dividends. That's money. In other words, the date for her is going to be financially gainful to her because he's going to divorce her. He's going to now continue to help himself to the dividends illicitly. That's illegal gains by him. And now she's going to take him to court. That date on the document is the thing that's going to financially protect her and be able for her to recover all those dividends that he unlawfully took. Okay. So the Gemara says, when she is vested and interested in having that date on the document, so then we don't have to worry. previously by the Kiddushin. So there, it's not there to help her. It's not going to help her financially, as we already pointed out. And in terms of the protecting her from any kind of any kind of accusation that she committed adultery, well, if anything, the data over there is not going to help her. It's going to hurt her, and all she's going to want to do is erase it. So the Gemara says so. So there's a big difference between the data on a kesef, on a shtar kiddushin versus on a shtar gerushin, otherwise known as a get. Adkan.
The ketubah, isn't that?
The ksuva is for nisuin. It's not for kiddushin. We're talking about kiddushin right now.
Right, so that's when you said, we don't remember when the wedding happened. The wedding didn't
You're right. I was not precise in my language. That's correct. And I was talking about the wedding. I was talking about the kiddushin. Oh, they had some sort of get together over there. Yeah, but you're correct. Okay. We are in Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud and Mishnah. Okay. So a series of Mishnahs that we're all familiar with and we're all comfortable with. And the truth of the matter is that we've gone over this case early in the Masechta. So I'm going to say this is easy. Now, I'm going to say this, by the way, in the context of Yevamos. Nothing Yevamos is really easy, but we've been here before. Gimel Achim Nisuin, Gimel Nachrio. So you have three brothers who are married to three women, and the women are not sisters to one another. Okay, Umeis Echamehem. So now one of the brothers dies. So we have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So first Reuven dies. Now, what does that mean? His wife now is eligible for the mitzvah of Yibum. Two, how many people? Two. In other words, obviously only one of them could do it, but Shimon or Levi. And again, over here, there is no there is no complexity. In other words, they're both just simple candidates to the mitzvah of Yibum. So now, what happens? So v'asabashini maimer, Shimon now does maimer with Ashes Reuven, the widow of Reuven. And so now, maimer means what? Well, that's a loaded question. Maimer depends who you're asking. You're asking Beis Shammai. You're asking Beis Hillel. You're asking Rabbi Shimon. Well, in the moment, we're going to hear from Rabbi Shimon, but it really kind of depends who you ask. But we're assuming right now, like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says that Maimer's Kona Kinyan Gamor. Okay, let's right now assume that we're not going like Beis Shammai. Let's assume that we're going like Beis Hillel. Maimer now just gives everybody the perception that you're more married to her, but of course you're not. Meaning, because what is Yibam? Yibam is the act of Bia. And you haven't done that yet with her. So, from a Torah standpoint, what is she? Ashes Reuven. At least from a perception standpoint, what is she? She's Ashes Shimon. Therefore, what is the halacha demand? So Umeis, and now Shimon dies after he did Maimer. Hare elu chosos v'lo misyamos. So you do chalitza, you don't do yibum. Meaning the last surviving brother, Levi, is going to be doing chalitza with both women, not yibum. Shinemar. Now the Gemara over here quotes a pasuk. Already, the alarm should be going off. You're quoting a pasuk to teach us a halacha of Maimer. Maimer is a rabbinic institution. What's the pasuk going to say regarding a rabbinic institution? Okay. So, hold that thought. V'i, right, umeisecha mehem yavama yavala, misha aleha zikas yavamecha, velo shaleha zikas beis yavama. And the woman over here is subject to two zikas. Meaning this woman over here is double zikad. So she is, She has it when she's coming to you. She had a zika from Reuven, and she also has a zika from Shimon by virtue of the fact that Shimon did mimer to her. Now again, I'm repeating myself, but just want to make sure we are clear about this. Meaning, she doesn't really have a zika from Shimon because Shimon only did mimer with her. So it just simply means that rabbinically they're closer to the mitzvah of Yibum, but they're not there yet. Okay, So the Gemara quoting a pasuk is a little bit strange. The Gemara is going to make this comment. Anyway, and now we get to see the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Now, reminder to all of us, myself and everybody else, we saw Rabbi Shimon earlier in the Masechta. Rabbi Shimon had, I'm going to say this a little bit comedically, but Rabbi Shimon had a really clear position regarding Maimer. What's his clear position? It's all or nothing. Meaning, it's binary. Maimer either works 100% or it works zero. But in other words, those are your two options regarding Maimer. So, once Shimon did Maimer to Ashes Reuven, what does that mean? It means one of two possibilities. Either it means she's Ashes Shimon, or she is not Ashes Shimon. Okay, now I know that's confusing, but that is Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, once you consider that, now from Levi's perspective, what can he do? So Rabbi Shimon Amar Miyabim Lezer Shirtz V'Cholos L'Shnia. So now it means from Levi's standpoint, for Rebbe Shimon, What Levi can do now is one of the, he can do Yibum to either woman. Consider, according to Rabbi Shimon, what did Maimer do? All or nothing. Okay, let's take the option of nothing. It did nothing. Okay, good. So if it did nothing, so what is that? What's this woman? The woman is the widow of Reuven, coming from a separate house. Good. And let's say Maimer did everything. So if Maimer did everything, she's Esha Shimon. And so now if he wants to, he can go ahead and he can marry Esha Shimon. Obviously, that would preclude him from being able to marry the tzara, the co-wife. But okay, so what? So you'll do Yibum, and then Cholik Slushnia. Now you have to do Chalitza to the other one. Now, is that Chalitza necessary for Rabbi Shimon? Yes, because remember, for Rabbi Shimon, it's two possibilities. Either this the other woman is just simply subject to Yibum, because the Ashes Ruving was just that Ashes Ruving. So Ashes Shimon now is subject to Yibum. Okay, and that could be taken care of with Chalitza. Alternatively, she's the co-wife of Ashes Ruving, meaning that Maimer did everything, which means now that Shimon is married to Ashes Ruving, and when Shimon dies now, so this woman now is considered Ashes Shimon, not Ashes Ruving. What does that make the co-wife? It makes the co-wife a co-wife, which means then that she needs nothing. Well, you certainly can't do Yibum with her. Okay, so the Chalitza is because there are two possibilities, and for one of those possibilities, you require Chalitza.
Why can't he do Nachris, aren't they?
I'll tell you the truth. I just went through it, so I'll sit with you again afterwards, and we'll do it again afterwards, but no. Right now, for Rabbi Shimon, those are the two options. So, so now the Gemara is addressing the opinion of the Chachamim. What did the Chachamim say? The Chachamim said, you are banned and barred from marrying her because she's coming with two Zikas. So the Gemara says, really? Well, that, of course, is confusing because if there really is such a drasha, so then you shouldn't require Chalitza. Meaning a woman's coming to you with a double Zika? Nothing. Well, not nothing, because the Mishnah says you have to do Chalitza with her. Ela midrabanan. So the Gemara says, and I know I said this back in the Mishnah, but you know I came slightly prepared. So the Gemara says that really what we're looking at over here is this double Zika idea. It's really a din derabanan, because again, what does Maimer do on a daraisa level? It doesn't accomplish. It doesn't do anything on a daraisa level. So now the idea that she's coming in with a double Zika, that's a din derabanan. Ugzera shemayomu beisivamos abaus mebaisecha misyamos. And over here, what the Chachamim are concerned about is the perception that it creates. Because what do people see? What people see is that Shimon did Maimer to her. Ah, she's Shimon's wife. Again, midaraisa, she's not. But that's how people see it. And now what are you going to do? So now what you're going to do is that you're going to now do Yibum to her, meaning because she's not Shimon's wife. She's really Reuven's wife. And people will then say that if I have Beis Yavamos, Abos Mibayis Echad, Mis Yavmos. Well, I could do Yibam to both of the wives of one bias, because that's the perception that was created from Maimer. So the Gemara says, okay, I got an idea. According to the Chachamim, you're worried about a perception. I get it. So V'niyabim L'chada V'nichlos L'chada. So the Gemara says, so why don't you do the following? Look, do Yibam to one of them. Because again, Mi Iker Hadin, according to the strict letter of the law, according to the Chachamim, Eishes Ruvain is Eishes Ruvain. Eishes Shimon is Eishes Shimon. They're coming from two different batim. So I could do Yibum too, whichever one I want. You're worried about a perception issue? So the Gemara says, do Chalitza to the other one. Okay. And that way people will know that I can't do Yibum Mi Bayis Echad, if you're worried about a misperception. So the Gemara says, Gzera Shema Yomer Bayis Echad, Mixaso Banu, Mixaso Chalitz. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm still worried. I should still worry about a misperception, because what did we just see together? Again, from the perception standpoint, this man died. He's now leaving two wives. Now, again, you and I know it's not two wives, because you and I know Maimer didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. But from a perception standpoint, it looks like he just died leaving two wives. And so what did you do? You did Yibum to one, you did Chalitza to the other. Okay, good. Okay, good. That's still a bad it's still a bad look, because now people are thinking, so now, when a brother dies, leaving multiple wives, so you can do Yibum to one, Chalitza to another. So to which the Gemara says, So I'm sorry. Umiksas of chalitz v'yomeru. So the Gemara says, okay, let people say that. So the Gemara says, if it's in the order that we just prescribed, for you first did yibum and then afterwards you did chalitza hachanami. You're right. So elegzera dama chalitz bereisha v'hadar miyabem v'kamle be'asher lo yivana v'rachman amar kem shalabana shiv lo yivne. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is, a man dies, leaving multiple wives. And now, if you did yibum to one and chalitza to the other, okay, we'll shrug our shoulders. Because once you do yibum to one, the mitzvah is finished. Ah, you do chalitza to another woman, okay. Yes, it's true, there'll be a little bit of collateral damage because now she's a chalutza and she can't marry a kohen, but when all said and done, like, that is not the end of the world. However, I'll tell you what is the end of the world, halachically. Let's say, after people are getting used to this idea of, I'll do yibum to one, chalitza to another, so the next time this happens, so we'll first do chalitza and then we'll do yibum. Now that's catastrophe. Why is that catastrophe? Because we know once you do chalitza to one of the wives, now yibum is over. You are under the... You're under the rubric of Kevan Shalobana Shivlo Yivna. Once you start destroying the house, we say that metaphorically, so now you're no longer in a position where you could rebuild the house. Your act of chalitza to one of the wives will disqualify all the wives from the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay. So now that is, there will simply not be a possibility of the mitzvah of Yibum in such a circumstance. So once we get people comfortable with the idea of do chalitza to one and yibum to the other, so they're not going to be precise about the order, and then it will lead to this such a scenario.
If the mimer is not like according to Rav Shimon is not anything.
No. Wait, I'm sorry.
If the mimer doesn't hold, so to speak.
Well, again, right now we're discussing the chacham.
I understand, but my question is, why can't you do yibum to both if it's one is Shimon's wife and one is Reuben's wife?
So according to the Chachamim, you could do Yibim to both, but again, we're worried about the misperception. Because people think that both these women are Shimon's wives. Uh-huh. And once people think that, then people will erroneously conclude that when a man dies leaving multiple wives, I could do Yibim to both.
So it's just a perception.
It's a perception issue. And according to Rabbi Shimon, so he has a whole different look at Mimer. It's all or nothing. So he's going to address it differently. Okay, so Amar Rava, Nasan get lemamaro hutra sarasa, aval hu asur demachlefes bebalas get. Okay, now this little piece of Gemara over here is in fact complicated, but I will try, and I'm going to do it quickly. And honestly, I'm just going to do it too quickly. But I do know, however, that we're going to be discussing this in more detail later in the Masechta. You do Maimer to a woman. Okay, so again, Maimer is like this partial marriage. It's a rabbinic institution making you now more connected to her. And then what you want to do is that you want to take it back. Can you take it back? Can you take back your Maimer? So what you can do now is you can give her a get. Now, all this is unbelievably confusing because get has no business, has no place in the Yibum construct. In the Yibum construct, it's either Yibum or it's Chalitza. It's one of the two. So what are you trying to do with the get? So what you're trying to do with the get is you're trying to take back your mimer. Your mimer was like almost like a quasi kedushin, and with the get you're going to go ahead and you're going to take back the mimer. So does that work? So Rava makes the comment that if you nasan get lamama rohutra tsarasa, so now what it does is that it takes it back, but only vis-a-vis the co-wives, not she herself. Now why not? Meaning, if in fact we're entertaining the idea that the get is able to undo the mimer, so why aren't we basically allowing her to go ahead and become a candidate once again for the mitzvah of Yibum? So aval he asura, why the mechalfa babal's get? Because what we're concerned about is there's a get and then there's a get, and this is where I'm acknowledging the Gemara over here is confusing. But again, we're going to be discussing this later in the Masechta, so hold on, please. And that is that sometimes the get can be given for the mimer, sometimes the get can be given for the entire Zika. Now, if you're giving the get for the entire Zika, that's it. You've just destroyed. Even though, again, and I know this might sound strange, get does not have any place over here. But get certainly is a sentiment. It's a statement. It's basically, I want out of this. Now, you did the wrong out. The right out is chalitza. You went about it but with get. But there is such a thing as a get just totally ruining and destroying the entire Zika, the entire Zika requirement. Not requirement. But the entire Zika institution. And if you're giving the get for Zika, that's it. You've destroyed it. If you're giving the get just to take back your mimer, so then it would be acceptable. What we're worried about is that if you give the get in such a scenario, even though your intention was just to remove the mimer, nevertheless, what may end up happening is people may confuse this with mamish a get for a Zika. Igadami, now in a slightly different version, now in the second version, so over here, it's basically the same point, but without the concern. Meaning that if after having done mimer to your brother, to your sister-in-law, you decide, you know what, I want to take it back. You, as long as your get is specific and designed just to rescind the mimer, so then that's fine. And not only now can another brother marry any of the other co-wives, another brother can even marry her as well. Meaning that in the second version, we're not worried about confusing get and get. Meaning if this get is designed for the mimer, people are not going to confuse this kind of get with another get, which was designed for the entire Zika. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end. Let's start the next Mishnah.
You can do chalitza after mimer?
Yeah, and you can do chalitza after mimer. Meaning, again, if the get is just there to rescind the mimer. Shnei achim nisum shnei achayos meis achan mehem ve'echad ve'achar kach meis ishto shel sheni arez asura alav olamis hol v'nesra alav sha'achas. Okay, now after a lengthy discussion here in Yevamos about super complicated cases, over here, really easy, straightforward case. Oh, it's going to be a pleasure. Until we get to the Gemara, we're there once again. It becomes complicated once again. But right now, it's so easy. Two brothers, two sisters. The Mishnah tells us that what happens now is that Mesechan Mehem. So one of the brothers die. In other words, what we're looking at over here now is Yibum. Now, yes and no. What did we learn in the beginning of the Mesechta? Yibum is able to get past the Erva of Eshesach. What Yibum is unable to get past is the Erva of Achosishto. Because the two brothers married the two sisters, so now, from the brother-in-law to his sister-in-law, she's also to him two times over. It's his brother's wife, Eshesach. It's his wife's sister, Achosishto. So now, what Yibum is unable to do is overcome the second Erva of Achosishto. We knew this already. But the Mishnah is telling us is the following. Let's say, after his brother dies, his wife dies. So now, we should be clear for the mitzvah of Yibum, right? We're not. We're not clear for the mitzvah of Yibum. Why? So the Mishnah tells us. We've heard this numerous times already in the Masechta. Harei ze asur alav olam is hov v'nesra alav shah achas. Because at the time of the death of the brother, she was achos ishto. So once she was an erva at the time of nefila, so therefore she will be asur forever, even though the reason behind the asur goes away. Meaning when at a later point in time when his wife dies, and she's no longer achos ishto, now, can we now revisit the mitzvah of Yibum? The answer is no. Once Yibum was rejected at the time of the death of his brother, she will always become usher to him.
If the order was flipped.
Ah, so funny you asked that question. Okay, pshita. So, meaning to say, the Gemara is going to be discussing exactly your question. Pshita. Hashta ma'asam de lo midche mehai beisa legamre amart lo. Hacha decha midche mehai beisa legamre lo kol shekein. Now, what bothers the Gemara right now is that, you know, we did a Mishnah in yesterday's daf. No, I take it back. 2 days ago, Lamed Amud Aleph, we did a Mishnah. Now, over there, we had a much more complicated case of this idea. Okay, I'll do it quickly, but it was complicated. So remember, we had over there three brothers, two of them married to two sisters. And what happened was, is that two of them are married to two sisters. And what happens was that it's the third Mishnah. So, one of the Brothers married to the sister died. Again, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven, Shimon, Levi married to two sisters. So let's say Shimon dies, and Levi marries one of these, and Levi marries his sister-in-law, meaning otherwise known as the mitzvah of Yibum. And then Levi dies, and now Levi's wives now become eligible for the mitzvah of Yibum to Reuven. Now, what happened to Reuven was is that for one of these women, she once was Achos Ishto. Okay, fine. She once was Achos Ishto. I left out an important detail, and that is that in the interim, Reuven's wife died. Okay, meaning between the first Nefila and the second Nefila, Reuven's wife died. So since in round one of the Nefila, she was Achos Ishto to him, so she was Usher historically. So now, even though we have a second round, he has a second opportunity to do a Yibum with this woman, but since historically she was rejected from him, she will always be rejected from him. Now that is a much more complicated and nuanced example of this idea that we're discussing over here. And what the Gemara wants to know is, once I know that case over there, where in that case it's going to be rejected, in this case, it's a no-brainer. Meaning this is like so basic. Meaning because at the time of the death of his brother, she was his wife's sister, so of course she's rejected to him. Why do I need this Mishnah after I have already seen the more complex scenario in Daf Lamed? So the Gemara says, Lo kol shekein tana ha tana bereisha v'achazi le'atera v'sharya v'adachazi le'isura v'ayde dechaviv ala ukma u'mishnah lozazamim kama. And the Gemara's response is, well, look, that Mishnah over there, it was really complicated. In fact, the Gemara tells us that in the Beis Medrash, they were literally going back and forth over that case over there. So, in other words, we can make an argument that it's mutter, we can make an argument that it's usser, and I encourage you, go through the Rashi's over here on our daf, where Rashi over here actually gives us like really strong arguments why it should be okay, but it's not. Meaning ultimately, when all said and done, the conclusion was, once a rejected woman once, always going to be a rejected woman for the mitzvah of Yibum. So that case over there was litigated, discussed, and concluded. Okay, good. Our Mishnah over here. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's the style of Mishnayos. Meaning once that Mishnah was put in place, Mishnah lo zozamim koma, we don't want to move it. It's true, once we know that the Mishnah on Daf Lamed, our Mishnah over here becomes super obvious. The Gemara says, good. But Mishnah lo zozamim koma, we don't leave the Mishnayos out of place. Tana Rabbanan. Okay. In the remaining time that we have together this morning, we're going to be starting a sugya. Really a sugya. Here we are in Yevamos Daf Lamed Beis. Okay, I say this with pun intended. The heart of the Masechta. Now, I say the heart, by the way. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. We're not in the heart of the Masechta. In fact, we have a lot more Masechta to go through. We don't finish the Masechta until into the summer. Phil and I just did the calendar before the Daf today. But you talk about one of the most basic sugyas that come up in our Masechta, and that is Isser Chal al Isser. An ability for one Isser to go ahead. Sorry. And superimposed on top of another Isser. And so David asked the question the Gemara now is going to be discussing. Two brothers are marrying two sisters. So now again, look at it from the brother-in-law to the sister-in-law. She is usher to you now two times over. She's your brother's wife, Eshesach. She is your wife's sister, Achos Ishto. Well, of course, shouldn't it matter who got married first? Did you get married first? Or did your brother get married first? Now, the Gemara is going to have a funny terminology to discuss you and your brother. You're the dead brother. In other words, you're the brother who eventually is going to die, allowing for the other brother to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, so Reuven, just so that we can navigate, I'm going to describe Reuven as the dead brother. Again, currently, right now, he's alive. Okay, but eventually he's going to die, and Shimon's going to be the live brother. Okay, so now, from the perspective of Shimon to his sister-in-law, so it depends. Did Reuven get married first? If that's true, Eshesach. If he, Shimon, got married first, so then what's the erva that comes in first? Achos Ishto. Now, it could just simply be that good. And there's room for both Isurim. However, as we're going to see together, there are Tanaim who are of the opinion that no, there's no room for a second Isur. Once the first Isur is there, there's no room for the second Isur to come. Now, what we're also going to learn today, there's a lot to learn in a little bit of time, but we're also going to learn today is that even if there's no room for the second Isser, it's not like the second Isser goes away. You know what it's doing? It's waiting in line. Still can't do Yibum. In other words, very good. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan Bala Chayev Ala Mishum Meshesach Umishum Achos Isha Divrei Rabbi Yosi. So let's say the brother-in-law has relations with his sister-in-law. So now he's subject to not one but two isurim. Now, Rashi points out over here, we do have to wonder if we're talking about Bishogeg, if we're talking about Bemezid. Meaning, if we're talking about Bishogeg, so that means that you have to bring not one, but two carbon chattises. If we're talking about Bemezid, how many times can you put the guy to death? No, only once. And on top of that, neither of these are subject to the death penalty. Meaning, we did this at the beginning of the Masechta. Every Erva is subject to Kares.
Why don't you come up with that?
Right, but not
simultaneous, no?
What?
Come up with
that? We're talking about how many Yisurim there.
I know, in terms of punishment.
No, Kimle Bedrabim means that there are two punishments that are...
Right.
Okay, I'll discuss it after. This is just a question of how many Yisurim are actually there. So right now, where there are two Yisurim over there, and according to Rabbi Yossi, good. So you're going to be subject to both of those Yisurim. Now, Rabbi Shimon Amar Einu Chayev Ala Mishum Eishasach Bavad. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, only Eishasach. Now the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Only Eishasach. V'hatanya Rabbi Shimon Amar Einu Chayev Ala Mishum Achos Isha Bavad. We have another statement of Rabbi Shimon that says, you only Chayev Achos Isha. But the answer is really simple. It depends who got married first. So lo kasha, kansha nasa chai v'achakach nasa meis, kansha nasa meis v'achakach nasa chai. Yeah, it's just a question of who got married first. Rabbi Shimon hecha de nasa chai v'achakach hecha de nasa meis v'achakach nasa chai kevin disra achos isha lo chayel tisya v'im yevume. Now the Gemara wants to know, so now I got a wonderful question. Let's say the dead brother got married first. Again, dead brother means he's going to die. So let's say the dead brother gets married first, and then you marry the sister. So now we should, according to Rabbi Shimon, let's do Yibum, right? Because what's the obstacle to Yibum? The second Erva. According to you, Rabbi Shimon, the second Erva doesn't kick in. So now we're only looking at one Erva of Eishasach. So let's do the Mitzvah of Yibum in such a circumstance. And the Gemara is asking, understanding that, no one would suggest that. That's perfect. It's a perfectly untenable position. But why not, according to Rabbi Shimon? Answers Gemara Amar Vashi Yisra Achos Isha Mitlatala V'Kai Ipak Yisra Eishasach Asi Yisra Achos Isha V'Chayel V'Elkach Lo Paka. So the Gemara's answer is that the second Isser is queued up, meaning that there is Eishasach and there is Achos Isha. And according to Rabbi Shimon, Ein Isser Chalal Isser. And according to Rabbi Shimon, this woman to you, from the brother-in-law to the sister-in-law, is only Eishasach and not Achos Ishta. But when your brother dies, and now what happens to the Eishasach? It goes away. So now what's left? What's left is Achos Ishta. Okay, the Gemara says, because even according to Rabbi Shimon, the second Isra doesn't disappear. It's mitla tali. It's hanging, it's suspended, it's waiting in line. And if in the event the first Isra goes away, along comes the second Isser, and then superimposes. Okay. Visavir Rabbi Yossi, Isser Chalal Isser V'atanya. The Gemara says, really? You're now telling me that according to Rabbi Yossi, we are going to be looking at two Isurim. The Gemara says, are you right about that? So, we have the following Braisa. Avad Avera, Sheesh Bashtei Misos, Nida Mechamura. A person does an Avera that's subject to not one, but two death penalties. Okay, it's impressive that you could do that, but you can. So according to the Tanakhama, you are going to be given the more severe. And Rabbi Yossi, Omer Nidam B'Zika Rishona Ba'alav. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, whichever one came first, that's the one that you're going to be penalized with. V'Tanya Kate said, Omer Rabbi Yossi Nidam B'Zika Rishona. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yossi, give me an example. So he says, sure. So, I'm sorry, B'Zika Rishona Ba'alav. So let's say it's your mother-in-law, right? And she's right now currently single. Her husband died, her husband divorced her, whatever the case is. So it's your mother-in-law. And it's your mother-in-law, and when you married her daughter, your wife, so she was a single woman. Okay. Now she's usher to you because chamoso. It's one of the arayas. And then v'nasa eishasish, and then mazel tov, your mother-in-law gets married. So now nidam chamoso. So now, which punishment are you going to receive? You're going to receive chamoso. So and chamoso, the chamoso is going to be through the death penalty for chamoso sreifa. The death penalty for eishes ish is going to be chenek. So now nidom chamoso, meaning because according to Rav Yossi, she was your mother-in-law before she was a married woman. Oh, okay, good. Right. Now, Eishes Ish V'Naseh Chamoso. Now let's go in the other direction, where first she was a married woman, and then she becomes your mother-in-law. So Nidom Eishes Ish. So now you're going to get Eishes Ish, meaning, so that, now you are going to be put to death, but the death penalty now is only going to be Chenek. It's not going to be Sreifa. Okay. So, yeah. And as we turn to the Amud Beis, Amar Rabbi Abbahu. Oh, so wait. So right now we are in an impasse. Previously in our daf, we learned that according to Rav Yossi, one Isser can impose on top of another Isser. Now currently we're learning that according to Rav Yossi, no such thing. According to Rav Yossi, Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. We saw it clearly over here in the case where you're having relations with your mother-in-law, and now which death penalty are you going to be receiving? Depends which came first. Why? Because the second one doesn't superimpose. So it's confusing now, right? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abbahu Modi Rabbi Yossi B'Isser Mosif. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rabbi Yossi will agree by Isser Mosif. And so over here, way too quickly, am I going to go through now, what are the exceptions to Isser Chalal Isser? So one exception that we're learning right now is what's called Isser Mosif. Isser Mosif means that this woman now is not just prohibited to me, she's prohibited to, in this particular case, the entire population, well, the entire male population, meaning by from going to mother-in-law to married woman, she now becomes us, or not just to you, but the whole world. So the Be'isser Mosif, Teina, Checha, Denasa, Chav, Achakach, Nasa, Meis, Migu, Di, Tosif, Issa, Lagabi, Achim, Tosif, Issa, Lagabi, Di, Dei. So the Gemara says, okay, let's move that over to the brother-in-law, sister-in-law. So if, let's say, first the... First Shimon gets married and then Reuven gets married. So the Gemara says, that's very good. Because what's going to now happen is that when Reuven marries his wife, so she becomes usher to all the brothers. So now she's also going to become usher to him as well. Okay, so the Gemara says, so that would be an example of Mosif. But let's go in the other direction. Where first Reuven gets married, then Shimon gets married. My Isser Mosif Ika. Over there, there's no Hosafa. You haven't added anyone to the Isser. V'chitim amigo dita sebekulach vasa hay Isser kolohu. So the Gemara says, well, maybe this will fall under another exception, which is Isser kolo. Now, the difference between Isser Mosif and Isser kolo. Rashi says it. I'm going to repeat what Rashi says. But again, I'm encouraging everyone to take time, think about it. Isser Mosif, where the Isser is going to be usher to more people. That's Isser Mosif. Like the case of mother-in-law, and then she's married. She is usher to you. When she gets married, she's usher to a lot more people. Isser kolel means that more things are going to become usher. Now, granted, over here, included in things are, let's say, for example, women, but more things are going to be usher to you. So that's what's called isser kolel. So the Gemara says, so over here, maybe we can make that argument. That over here, even though the mace gets married first, and then the chai gets married afterwards, but more objects are going to be usher. It doesn't matter if I say thing or say objects. It objectifies a woman, but I'm only objectifying the woman vis-a-vis that she is the chefza of isser. She's the item of isser. And so more women are going to become usher. But el amarava mala, I'm sorry. So isser kolohu. So el amarava mala ani ke'ilu asar shtayim ve'enu chai v'la'achas. V'chen ki asar rav en amarav yochan mala ani alav ke'ilu asar beiz. So the Gemara says, you're right. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yossi, we're going to say what we said on the bottom of the previous Amud, which is that Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. So in that regard, we're going to stand by that. And vis-a-vis the what seems to be now problematic, because according to Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, well, it's not really the Mishnah, it's the Braisa, immediately following the Mishnah, so the says that you're going to be subject to two isurim. It's ki'ilu, meaning inachinami. When all said and done, according to Rav Yossi, you're only going to be chayv one. Which one? The one that comes first, because of ein isser chal al isser. But vis-a-vis Ki ilu, as if we're going to say both. The Gemara says legabe what? So ki ilu asabeis veino chayv alachas. My nafkamina. So the Gemara says, what is it? So good. So he's only going to be chayv one, but it's going to be ki ilu he did two. The Gemara says lamay nafkamina lekavra bein rishaim gemurim lekavra bein rishaim gemurim. In terms of where he's going to be buried. Okay, this is a Sanhedrin discussion. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that rishaim are buried not in the regular cemetery, but a cemetery off to the side. Even as Rishon are buried off to the cemetery to the side, they're going to also be segregated there as well between serious convicts and less than serious convicts. Now, I know I say less than serious convicts, you know what I'm talking about? People who were executed by Beis Din. But in other words, the serious convicts were executed either through Skeel or Sreifa. The next grade down, those were executed either through Hereg or Chenek. And the point is over here is that even though the legabe, the actual execution itself, Rabbi Yossi says, Ein Isser Chal Al Isser, and we know exactly which execution to give, the one that came first, vis-a-vis where they're going to be buried, we're still going to take both of those Isserim in mind. Okay.